الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إن من الشجر شجرة لا يسقط ورقها وإنها مثل المسلم فحدثوني ما هي فوقع الناس في شجر البوادي قال عبد الله ووقع في نفسي أنها النخلة فاستحييت ثم قالوا حدثنا ما هي يا رسول الله قال هي النخلة أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته سيدنا عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said inna min ash-shajari shajaratan, indeed there is a tree amongst trees, there is a tree, la yasqutu waraquha, whose leaves don't fall, it remains evergreen throughout the year. وَإِنَّهَا مَثَلُ الْمُسْلِمِ, and this tree is like the Muslim. In certain qualities, this tree is like a Muslim. فَحَدِّثُنِي مَا هِيَ, so tell me what it is. What is the name of the tree? Which tree am I talking about? فَوَقَعَ النَّاسُ فِي شَجَرِ الْبَوَادِي, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, who were 10 in number in that gathering, started thinking about various trees. And their minds went towards the trees in the jungle. Some of them remained silent. From amongst those who remained silent were Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu. And some gave answers. According to what they had thought, but the answers were incorrect. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I also thought about it. And I came to the conclusion that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is talking about the date palm tree. فَاسْتَحْيَيْتُ, but out of haya and modesty, I remained silent. because senior people were there. My father Umar radiallahu anhu was in the gathering. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was also in the gathering. And I thought it was not respectful for a senior, for a junior, to say something in the presence of seniors when they remain silent. So out of respect for my father, out of respect for Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I adopted silence. Summa qalu, when people realized that they were unable to reach the correct conclusion, they said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Haddithna ma hiya ya Rasulullah. O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, please you tell us, what is the name of the tree? Which tree are you talking about? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Hiya nakhlatu. It is the date palm tree. Umar Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, later on, after they dispersed from the gathering of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, informed his father that I also thought about the answer and I had reached the correct conclusion. So why did you not answer? Umar radiyallahu anhu asked. So he said, because of your presence, because of the presence of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, out of respect. So Abu Bakr, Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said that, O my son, your giving the correct answer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would have been more beloved to me than red camels. Because red camels is a material commodity. And if you had answered correctly, then you would have acquired the praise and the attention of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this commodity is spiritual commodity. As a result of which you would have progressed greatly in ilm and amal both. Alhamdulillah, we have gone through the main parts of the hadith and we have understood the message of this hadith. But ulama deduce many lessons from the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. For example, just take this small incident. Allama Aini rahmatullahi alayhi has deduced eight important lessons from this small incident that took place in the presence of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will not discuss all the 8 lessons that Allama Aini rahmatullahi alayhi, the great commentator of Sahihul Bukhari, has deduced, but we will discuss some that are relevant to us. The first point is that the ulama have stated that if a muallim, if a teacher, or if a senior asks his students or his juniors a question with a good intention, and the good intention is to sharpen and better the understanding of the students, to teach them to learn and deduce, to encourage them to work more harder, So if a teacher or a senior was to pose a question to his students or his juniors with these good intentions, because I have mentioned this earlier, that Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala says that without six things a person cannot acquire ilm. And from amongst the six things that Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned, one is zakah. Being clever, being sharp. And sharpness and being clever is of two types. One is Allah given sharpness. So a person is naturally sharp, a person is naturally clever. And the second type of sharpness, the second type of being clever is that which a person acquires through his efforts. So you have a person who is naturally sharp. From the time he was born, he has always been sharp. Even from his childhood, people could see that this person is very clever. This child is very clever, very sharp. But as he grows up, as a result of his efforts, he will become even more sharper. He will become even more clever. And you have a person who is born dull, not very clever, right from childhood. Even in his primary classes, his high school, his madrasa, not very sharp. So he did not have the Allah-given sharpness. But he worked hard, and after 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, people saw a vast difference between his sharpness 20 years ago and the sharpness that he had now. From this we understand that a person who is dull should not become despondent. You can still strive to become sharp. You can still strive to become clever. In many families where you have 5 children, 4 children, 3 children, siblings, 5 siblings, 4 siblings, 3 siblings, you have one child who is always failing, who is underscoring in madrasa, in school, in everything. And the other siblings, they are scoring very high. They are always passing their examinations. And the mistakes that parents and some teachers make is they victimize this weak child. The parents should give more attention to this weak child. The parents should encourage this weak child more. A sick person, a weak person, sick person, weak person is always in need of affection. This is also a type of sickness. A deprived person is in need of affection. Somebody who is hungry, somebody who does not have clothing to clothe himself, he is deprived. Deprived sector deserves the affection of those who are not deprived. This is the basic teaching of our religion, Islam. Be that person Muslim or non-Muslim. So parents also victimize. You are good for nothing. Even if he desires to say something and what he is going to say was going to be something important or something valuable in the discussion that is taking place within the family. But no, you remain quiet because you are good for nothing. Sometimes the teachers also, they sit him on the side, right hand side or left hand side. No attention is given to him, no eye contact as far as the throughout the lesson there is no eye contact. In the British education system, alhamdulillah, the teachers are taught to give attention to the weak students. And they pose more questions to the weak student than the sharp one. Because he needs training. So, zakah. Zakah. Those children who are weak amongst their siblings don't become despondent. You may not have the natural abilities that your siblings have, but if you work hard, you may surpass them. Because they are naturally sharp, they may become rabbits and hares, and they will go to sleep thinking, "I am very clever." And because you are a tortoise, you will continue working hard. And inshallah, a day will come when you will surpass. Because they are naturally sharp, they will rely on their abilities. And because you are weak, you will rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator. So you will turn to Him and say, "Oh Allah, help me. Oh Allah, give me understanding." So don't give up. Never think to yourself that I am good for nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created goodness in everybody. Sometimes the goodness is visible like a lake or a river. And sometimes you have to dig for that goodness like a well. The goodness is there, but you have to work hard. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here is asking the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain a question to test their sharpness, to teach them to use their sharpness and make it even more better. Or if they are amongst the deprived sector, to work hard and bring that zakah and sharpness in them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is asking this question so that it will encourage the person who knows the answer correctly to work more harder. That alhamdulillah, today I was correct, next time I will work even more harder. And those who are unable to give correct answers, to encourage them also. That if he was able to give answer this time, then to acquire the attention and the dua of our teacher, in this case Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in our case our teacher, so I will work more harder, I will think more harder, I will try to come to the correct conclusion. Allama Aini rahmatullahi alayhi writes that the ulama have said, it is mustahab, it is praiseworthy, it is a commendable act, it is a rewarding act for a teacher to pose questions to the students with these good intentions. So asking questions during lessons, for the teacher asking questions to the students, it will help the student progress. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, throughout his Bukhari, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi has done this. The style of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is that he brings a chapter. He brings chapter after chapter, chapter after chapter, chapter after chapter. Babun, 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 chapter, chapter, chapter. And after chapter, he mentions his verdict regarding a fiqhi matter, regarding a tafsiri matter, regarding a hadithi matter, regarding matters of deen. He brings his verdict forward. And after the verdict, he brings a hadith to substantiate his verdict. So he will say, chapter so and so. And thereafter, he will bring a hadith underneath that chapter to establish the verdict that he has formed. So he does two things, verdict and then the proof. Verdict, proof, verdict, proof. Sometimes one proof only, sometimes two proofs, sometimes three. This is his style. This is his general style. But some places, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala says bab, and after saying bab or chapter, he doesn't mention his verdict. After saying bab, he straight away goes on to a hadith. So he may bring one hadith, or he may bring two hadith or three hadith, but he does not mention the verdict. So the ulama have posed the question that why Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala has not mentioned his verdict here. What is his motive in mentioning these two or three ahadith? What is he trying to substantiate? What is he trying to tell the readers? Why? Why he has not, he says Bab and then he remains silent and doesn't mention his verdict. The commentators of Bukhari Sharif, those who explain Bukhari Sharif to us, they pose this question. And thereafter they give answers. The most accepted answer is that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is training the students to become like him. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is training the students to become like him. What Imam Bukhari rahmatullah is saying is that before this chapter, you have read many chapters and you have seen my style. That I say, Bab so and so, and I bring a hadith. Bab so and so, and I bring a hadith. I deduce a verdict from the hadith. I deduce a adab from the ahadith under the chapter. So here I am only mentioning the ahadith and leaving the deducing to you. So think very hard, because you are studying Bukhari Sharif now. You have been studying for the past 5-6 years. You have the ability now. So think very hard and try to deduce a mas'ala, deduce a verdict from this hadith. Keeping in mind the chapters before, keeping in mind the chapters after, keeping in mind the topic under discussion. Think hard. At other places, his style changes. And what he does is that he brings the chapter Bab and thereafter he brings his verdict. But after the verdict, he does not bring the proof. He does not mention the hadith. Again the question arises as to why Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is not substantiating his verdict. The answer is saying he is training the students to become like him. What he is saying is that I have put the verdict. Now you look for the proof. And that proof you will find in Bukhari Sharif itself if you look here and there. So what I am saying is that for a teacher to ask questions in order to train the students to become like himself, to make their Arabic better, to make their fiqh better, to teach them to think, because the person who is able to think more and think deeper, he will be able to understand deen better. It is for this reason the ulama have stated that when the teacher asks a question, in that question he should also leave a clue. The teacher should not ask a question that no student will be able to answer. It should not be so easy that everybody will be able to answer. And it should not be so difficult that only the most intelligent will be able to answer or nobody will be able to answer. No. Moderate. You have to keep balance. Here also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam asked a question and he left a clue also. We find in another narration of Bukhari Sharif, in Kitabul Ilm, that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam asked this question, when he was sitting with the 10 Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, then Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma gives more detail in that narration. And he says that anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam utiya bi jummar. Jummar was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the beginning of the hadith. 10 of us were sitting in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Jummar was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now what is Jummar? Jummar is the heart of the date palm tree. If the heart fails, The person is dead. So if you take the Jumar out of the date palm tree, then the date palm tree dies. So Jumar is the heart of the tree. In the dictionary, they have mentioned that it is the pith of the date palm tree. But I am saying it is the heart of the date palm tree. And it is from this Jumar that the tree branches out. And it is from this Jumar that the fruits blossom. And it is as the result of this Jumar that the tree trunk remains alive and the roots remain alive. If the Jumar is taken out, then it cannot survive. And Jumar is found at the top part of the tree trunk. And it is a substance which is large and white in color, and it is soft, it is very tasty. Not that I have tasted it, but the ulama have stated that it is tasty, because obviously they have experienced it, and it is very good for health. So Jumar was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Jumar was placed in his hand, he said, "Inna mina shajari shajaratan." This is when he asked this vague question. So he is giving the clue also. And the minds of the remaining 9 people did not go towards this clue. The mind of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu went towards this clue. And he came to this conclusion that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking this question after being presented with Jumar, so it must be the date palm tree. So here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking a question, it's a very very vague and difficult question, but he is also giving a clue. So either the teachers give a clue or teachers look at the ability of the students and thereafter ask questions. Because the objective of asking questions or the objective of taking tests or the objective of taking examination is not to fail the students. The objective of taking tests, examination, is to encourage them to work hard and become more better. So, if the teachers test the students every month or every now and then with good intentions, then it may be difficult for the students, but the teacher is acquiring sawab in the hereafter. So this is one lesson that we learn. We learn another lesson also. Because this is a catchy question. Catchy question. Riddles are catchy questions also. Riddles. We ask each other riddles. Now, when we ask, we playing, it's free time, just relaxing, and we say, okay, let us ask each other riddles and try to figure out. So when we ask riddles, then there also, if the intention is correct, then Allah will reward you. If the intention is that I want to sharpen my memory, or I want to ask questions as a result of which I will benefit as far as knowledge is concerned. Knowledge. Sometimes we ask questions where your knowledge increases. For example, if a person was to ask a question that there is a circumstance where azan is called out and iqamah is called out, but there is no salat after that azan and iqamah. What is that situation? What is the circumstance? Now, as a result of this question, it's not a riddle, it's a question. As a result of this question, a person will think about so many circumstances that azan and iqamah is called out at fajr time, but there is salat. Azan and iqamah is called out at zuhr time, but there is salat. In janazah, there is no azan, no iqamah. Eid, there is no azan, no iqamah. So there are situations where there is salat and no azan and iqamat, but the question here is there is azan and iqamat but no salat. And this azan and this iqamat is mustahab, but there is no salat after it. Now if a student pursuing dini knowledge is asked such questions, it will improve his ability to think. He will return back and he will look at so many books to come to the conclusion. Whereas the answer is very easy. The answer is very easy. We call out azan and iqamat when a child is born. It is mustahab. It is mustahab to call out azan in the right ear of the child, newly born child. And it is mustahab to give iqamah in the newly born child. But there is no salat afterwards. In English also we have riddles. But no benefit as far as dini knowledge is concerned. For example, what is black and white and red all over? What is black and white and red? Black and white and red. So it's black and white but red. So what is black and white and red all over? So there is no benefit as far as dini knowledge is concerned. But if a person tries to think and reach a conclusion, he will make his ability to think more better and more sharper. And then if he has to think about Nahu or Sarf or any religious issue, or in college, university, accounting or medicine, his ability to think will increase. So what is black and white and red all over? Newspaper. It is black and white and red all over. The whole world reads it. So what is black and white and red all over? Riddle. So asking a question as a result of which there is benefit. Dini benefit or worldly benefit, permissible benefit. Or asking a riddle. Riddle is mu'imma. A person came to Allama Zamakhshari rahimahullahu ta'ala. I think it was Allama Zamakhshari rahmatullahi alayhi or Allama Taftazani rahimahullahu ta'ala. So he said, who are you? So he said, I am mu'imma. He said, I am a riddle. That means, my whole life is riddle. So I only speak in riddles. So Allama said, he was a great scholar. He said, okay, tell me your name. So he mentioned his name in a riddle. He stood up. And he went into ruku. And after ruku, he touched his beard once like this. So he flicked his beard once like this with his right hand. From the bottom. Once, twice and thrice. So first he held his beard like this. And after holding the beard, he flicked it once, he flicked it twice, and he flicked it thrice. He said, this is my name. So Allama rahimahullahu ta'ala immediately said, your name is Idris. So the students who were sitting in his gathering said, that, oh our teacher, oh our sheikh, how did you come to this conclusion? So he said, he stood up first, so that is Alif. And then he went into Ruku, that is Dal. And then he held his beard. In Persian, beard is called Rish. So Idrish. And thereafter he flicked once, so one dot is gone. And he flicked a second time, so second dot is gone. And he flicked a third time, so third dot is gone. So Idrish became Idris. If there is a question or if there is a riddle, which is of benefit? The questioner has good intention. And those who are being asked question exert effort. I have said this before as well. That many people in the class, they assume they have God given, Allah given talents. They have zakah, natural zakah. But they assume they don't have zakah. They assume that everybody else is superior to me in the class. Or they are dull, they don't have zakah as much as the other students are. But if you don't exert effort, they will just blank themselves and sit there and wait for somebody to answer and wait for the teacher to either say correct or incorrect and give the answer. They will not do any work at all. No, work hard. work hard. This is part of our course, that we need to work hard. We need to take part in everything that takes place in the madrasa, that takes place in the class, that takes place in the college, in the university, as far as our education, progress in education is concerned. Once a person desired to meet Mamun Rashid, he was very, very clever. He desired to meet Mamun Rashid. Mamun Rashid was the son of the great Caliph Harun Rashid. And Harun Rashid had a lot of love for ilm and the ulama, and Mamun also had a lot of ilm for ilm and the ulama. But he was the Khalifa of the time, the Caliph of the time. And people would not let him enter the palace. So he thought to himself that I will have to do something that will make me stand in front of the Caliph. So he went to a public place and he said, pay attention to me, please pay attention to me, listen to me, listen to me. And I am not a beggar, so don't worry. I'm not going to gather you and ask you for money. It's something else. Please listen to me, listen to me. And he said a few things which were contrary to the teachings of Deen. And as a result of what he said, he was taken in the court of Mamun. He was taken to Mamun that he has become a renegade. He has left the fold of Islam because he has said certain things contrary to the teachings of Islam, to the aqaid of Islam. And from amongst the things he said was, he said, "Anna indi ma laysa lillah." One of the things he said, "Inna indi ma laysa lillah." He said, I have something that Allah does not have. Contrary to our aqidah, Allah has everything. So I have something that Allah does not have. And he said, Inni uhibbul fitna. I love fitna. And he said, Inni akrahul haq. And I dislike haq. I love fitna and I dislike haq. These are some of the things he said. I'm not mentioning everything. So as a result of all these things that he said, people said he is a renegade, he has left the fold of Islam. And if he has left the fold of Islam, then he needs to be brought to the Khalifa. So he was taken to the Khalifa, so he said to Mamun, that I can explain everything that I have said. The only reason behind saying what I have said is so that I am able to come to you, because I need to discuss something with you. I have a need that I need to discuss with you. But nobody would let me come near you. So this is a trick that I used. So thereafter he explained. And I have mentioned three things, so I will explain. He said that I have something that Allah does not have. So Mamun said, explain that. What is it that you have that Allah does not have? So he said, wife and children. Allah says in the glorious Quran, مَتَّخَذَ صَاحِبَةً وَلَا وَلَدَ. Allah does not have wife or children, and I have wife and children. And he said that, but you love fitna? Inni uhibbul fitna? He said, yes. Innama amwalukum wa auladukum fitna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that your wealth and your children can become a means of fitna for you. So he said, I have wealth and I have children also. So he said, you say that inni akrahul haq, I dislike haq. So he said, yes, death is from amongst those things that is haq. It is definitely going to take place, but I don't like death. So I was saying, asking questions is mustahab. But there is another motive for asking questions. Or there are other types of riddles or other types of questions. For example, riddles only for the sake of riddles, just passing time, just wasting time, not to sharpen the understanding, not to exercise the method of understanding, trying to reach the depth of something. That is not the intention. For example, a person is playing football just for the sake of football. And we have another person who plays football with the intention of exercising his body. Because he feels that I am a lazy person, And for me to do exercise is not possible. I'm not obsessed. Once a week, twice a week, thrice a week, I'll play football for 1 hour. And the intention is to exercise my body because Allah has asked me to look after my body. So he will be rewarded if his intention is exercise. So riddles and questions, crosswords, that have nothing to do with deen. Permissible things. But if you do it with this intention, that I want to do this, so that my understanding can become sharper and I will be able to understand my lessons better, a person will be rewarded. But if a person is engaging just for the sake of engaging, just passing time, killing time, showing somebody down, showing himself to be superior, let us play riddles. And you are asking me questions, and because I am sharper than you, I am giving all the answers. So, boasting, feeling proud. And then I am asking you questions, showing you down. Sometimes a mufti may ask another mufti, an alim may ask another alim, a doctor may ask another doctor in front of other 4 or 5 people to show him down. It is called captious question. Captious means to ask a question and thereafter create petty objections. Oh, no, you didn't give the correct answer. It should have been like this. This is not permissible. In Abu Dawud Sharif, we have a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anil ughlutat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has forbidden us from captious questions. Questions where we ask with the intention of showing somebody down. Even if a teacher was to ask a student a question because he dislikes him for some reason or other, to show him down. There is a student who is very sharp in the class. He always gives good answers, but the teacher has some disliking for him. Maybe because he doesn't behave the way he needs to behave. But that does not mean that the teacher disgraces him. But he asks with this intention only, that I want to show him down. I want to show my superiority. Then this is where Naha Anil Ughlutat will come. It will not be permissible. So this is the first lesson that we have learned from this hadith. That amongst ourselves, equals contemporaries or seniors or juniors, when they ask each other questions, to benefit from such exercises, then it is mustahab, it is rewarding, and we should do that. And we should not only do that, we should take benefit from these exercises. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to attach ourselves to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ahadith of his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, to the ilm of nubuwwat, to the ilm of sharia that was passed down to us over centuries by the ulama, and try our utmost to acquire the best understanding as possible, and thereafter to practice and propagate. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى اللهم اجعل وساوس قلوبنا خشيتك وذكرك واجعل همتنا وهوانا فيما تحب وترضى اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع يا عليم علمنا ما لم نكن نعلم يا عليم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا مفهم سليمان فهمنا يا معلم آدم وإبراهيم علمنا ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم ارزقنا حبك وحب من يحبك اللهم إنا نسألك من فضلك العظيم ربنا أتمم لنا نورنا واغفر لنا إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين ومن المتطهرين ومن عبادك الصالحين ومن أوليائك المقربين الصديقين ومن العلماء الربانيين ومن خدام دينك وأشاقك وأشاق حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اهد الناس جميعا اللهم اهد الناس جميعا اللهم اهد الناس جميعا اللهم اهدنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا رب.